Amen. Now this morning, I want to be speaking on the blood. And 2025, you know, there's this sense of excitement, there's this sense of faith, there's a sense of anticipation for what is going to happen in this year. And I do believe there will be battles, because there can't be victory without battles. And there will be some battling for the high places, because he who has control of the high places have influence over culture, over systems, over society. And so there will be some battles for the high places this year. But let me say this, that because it is the set time of the Lord to war and to battle, it is also the set time of the Lord to win. God never sets his people out for failure. Amen. Amen. And the only way we're going to win this year, the battles of the Lord, is by his blood. It's by his blood. The only power that gives life to our preaching, to our teaching, is the gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that makes the word alive. It's the blood that terrorizes Satan and every demon in hell. It's the blood that set the captives free. It's the blood that paid for your healing and for mine. We got to make much about the blood of Jesus, especially this year. We must learn what it means to honor his blood. Look, we're not saved by church membership. We're not even saved by water baptism. You can go down a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner. We're not saved by good works. We're not saved by morality. We're not saved by religion. You can wear a cross around your necks and yet not have Jesus in your hearts. We're saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Cultures will divide, doctrines will divide, social issues will divide, but it's the blood that unifies. We are the blood-bought church of Christ. Somebody say amen. The blood testifies of our relationships with one another. Look, physically our bones are stationary, our tendons, our muscles are stationary. The only moving thing in your anatomy is the blood in your veins. It circulates every second. It brings nutrients. It brings oxygen. It brings cleansing to your body. The point is this, that when your blood stops circulating, when your blood stops moving in your body, you are totally and instantly dead. And so in the same way, a bloodless theology is a lifeless theology. A bloodless church is a dead church. So let's talk about the blood today. Let's make much about his blood. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because knowledge is important. The Bible says that my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. Knowledge is important. If you have inaccurate knowledge, then your faith will have little expectation. In other words, the more you know about the blood, the more your faith and your expectation will increase. And we're talking unlimited expectation when you know about the covenant that Jesus made with you and I through his blood. His blood is a covenant with us. It's a blood covenant. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole topic of covenant. In fact, I actually preach this in a 3-part sermon series, okay? So if you want to dig deeper into this teaching series, log into Cornerstone Borneo's YouTube channel, and there you have the exposition of the covenant of the blood and everything else. It's just a snippet today, all right? So covenant, God has made a covenant with us because of his blood. And we got to start talking, we got to start walking, we got to start living, we got to start thinking like we have a covenant with God's blood. So knowledge of the blood increases your expectations, and you're going to start thinking, you're going to start talking like God's for you and not against you. Come on. Some of us, we live life as if God is against us all the time. Listen, God is on your side. The blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I am blessed. I have passed the test and I'll get God's best. Come on. Because of his blood. Amen. We are blood washed, we are blood cleansed, and we are blood blessed. And so today I want to talk about how to apply the blood of Jesus. How do we appropriate his blood in our lives? Now, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Look, we're in direct conflict with Satan. It says they overcame him. There's no one in between. And it tells us how they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And it also describes what kind of people they were. They loved not their lives even unto the death. To say in one word, they were committed. They were totally committed. And I believe that's the kind of Christians that Satan is absolutely frightened of. Totally committed Christians. And when it says they loved not their lives unto the death, it means for them, staying alive was not priority number one. Their priority was to do the will of God, whether they stayed alive or not. And we talk a lot about being recruited in the Lord's army as soldiers. And I think many of us have a rather vague or sentimental perspective of being soldiers in the Lord's army. Because no soldier has ever joined an army on the condition that he will not be killed. Every soldier that has been joined to an army, one of his commitment is, I may be killed. I may lose my life. And the people that Satan fears are those who are not afraid to lay down their lives. But that's an entirely different sermon altogether. This morning, I want to expound on the truth that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And I've got a statement to just summarize this. Essentially, we can say that we overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the word of God says the blood of Jesus does for us. I'll say that again. We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the word of God says that the blood of Jesus does for us. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do that. I'm going to take the Passover ceremony in Exodus as a pattern for us. Now, Exodus 12 verses 21 to 23, Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And so the instructions were very clear. Every father of every household had to go look for a lamb appropriate size for their families. And then he was to sacrifice the Passover lamb and catch its blood in a basin. The blood in the basin, right, is precious. So catch every drop of blood in the basin. Now, the blood was a means for their protection. But listen, church, the blood in the basin does not protect anybody. The instructions went on. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and then apply it on the lintel and on the doorposts of your houses, and you will be saved. You will be protected. You see, the whole destiny of Israel depended on getting the blood from the basin to the door. And how were they to do it? Simple. Take a bunch of hyssop. What are hyssop? It's weeds that are grown everywhere in the Middle East. And so dip the hyssop in the blood in the basin and smear it, sprinkle it on the door and on the lintel. And then God required one more thing. He said, when this blood has been sprinkled on the door, stay inside. Because anyone who goes outside of the blood is not protected. Now let's cross-reference to 1 Peter 1. Verses 1 and 2, I'll read from verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what comes before the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ? Church, this is an open book exam. Obedience. Obedience comes before the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is not sprinkled on the disobedient. Do you see that? Anyone who went outside of their houses and disobeyed the instructions of the Lord, the blood did not avail them. So bear in mind that although there is perfect protection in the blood, it's only for the ones who walk in obedience. Let's go back to the Passover ceremony. The blood was in the basin. It had to be transferred to the house. They plucked a bunch of hyssop, dipped it in the blood, sprinkled it on the door. They're safe. Now, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Christ became for us the ultimate Passover who was sacrificed for us. His blood finally assures us of eternal redemption. So the Old Testament Passover ceremony was just a preview of what was to come, with Christ being our perfect Passover sacrifice. Now, to use the terms of the Passover analogy, Christ has been slain for centuries ago. His blood is now in the basin. But remember, blood in the basin doesn't protect. What do we have to do? Get the blood from the basin to our lives. And that's why we pray, God, I apply your blood. God, I appropriate your blood. And that's powerful. Apply the blood of Jesus. So the question is, how do we get the blood of Jesus from the basin to our lives? From the basin to our households, our families, our businesses, our finance. How? Revelation 12:11, we read earlier on, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You remember what we said? We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the word of God says the blood of Jesus does for us. The devil can tolerate a lot of religious activity. He will even go to church himself. And I think he's been to many churches. But he cannot tolerate the blood of Jesus. He cannot tolerate anyone who talks about his blood, sings about his blood, testifies about his blood, and anyone who applies and appropriates his blood in their lives. Testimony is a very simple thing. Blood has a voice. His blood speaks a better word. Blood has a voice. Testimony is a very simple thing. It's just saying a few words according to the scriptures. It's like the little hyssop, but it saves us. It's our protection. Hebrews 3:1 says it this way, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, what's confession? Confession is this, literally saying the same thing as. Saying the same as. That's confession. So for us as believers in the word of God and in Jesus Christ, our confession means we say the same with our mouth as God says in his word. We make the words of our mouth agree with the word of God. That's confession. And it says that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession, which means, church, look at this. No confession, no high priest. He can only be an advocate for us. He can only work on our behalf when we make the right confessions. So whether you call it a testimony or you call it a confession, it's absolutely indispensable for you to receive the salvation of God. Jesus says, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now, I'm going to give you a practical demonstration on how we can apply the blood. How do we transfer the blood of Jesus from the basin to the doorposts of our hearts, our lives, our health, our finances, our families? And I want to point out that in the Old Testament, there was a sevenfold sprinkling of the blood. That's found in Leviticus chapter 16. But this morning, I want to give you a sevenfold application of the effects of the blood of Jesus in our lives from the New Testament. Now, the first effect is this, that the blood of Christ brings redemption. Redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, redemption means being bought back. So we were once in the hands of the devil, and now Jesus has bought us back. He has redeemed us with his blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Come on. We all have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. How many of you are redeemed this morning? Amen. And you know what the Bible says in Psalm 107? It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's your confession. It's your testimony, the word of your testimony. Come on, do you see that? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. No say so, no redemption. No confession, no high priest. It's your confession. It's your testimony that makes it work for you. Otherwise, the blood remains in the basin. And so let's testify this morning. Let's make much about the blood this morning. Let's open our mouths and let's declare and say so. Let's say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed from the hand of the devil. Amen. Amen. You've got to open your mouth. This year, church, don't be silent. This year, you've got to learn what it means to say so. The word of your testimony, that's how you're going to overcome Satan. That's how you're going to win battles. By the blood of the Lamb and by that bunch of hyssop dipped in the blood in the basin and applying it on your lives. Say so. Second effect is this, cleansing. So the blood redeems, the blood cleanses. It says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, in the original language, all these verbs in that verse are in continuing present tense. It's important to see that. So basically, it says, if we continue walking in the light, we continue having fellowship with one another. Now, do take note that the evidence that you're walking in the light is that you have fellowship. When you're out of fellowship, you're out of the light. And if you're out of the light, listen to this tremendously important truth. The blood doesn't cleanse in the dark. The blood doesn't cleanse in the dark. If we're continually walking in the light, we're continually having fellowship with one another, then the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. It's a continuous provision. So it doesn't matter where we are. If as long as we're in the light, we may be in the most darkest of places, surrounded by the most wicked and most malicious of people, His blood cleanses us continually from all sin. Amen. You know, I take it to a level higher. In the Old Testament, your sins are forgiven you. Do you know in the New Testament, because of the blood covenant of the ultimate Passover, Jesus Christ, now our sins are in remission. It says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What's the difference? The word remission means cancellation of penalty and the removal of guilt. So check this out. In the new covenant of the blood, His blood doesn't just remove your sin, but His blood also removes sin consciousness. Every feeling that is attached to sin, shame, guilt, feelings of failure, condemnation, His blood cleanses them all. You're not just now forgiven of your sins are now in remission. Somebody ought to thank God for His blood today. Smith Wigglesworth says it this way, there is not one thing in me the blood doesn't cleanse. Come on. And many people have said, you know, I wish I could forget the past. I wish I could forget the mistakes I've committed, the sin I've committed, the failures of my past. And I tell you what, the Lord replies, do not count for nothing my blood. My precious and my divine blood that was shed for the remission of your sins. I remember and I blot out your transgression. I remember them no more. And let me say that if the blood of Jesus can remove what you did from the memory of God, surely that blood has the power through the Spirit to come upon your mind, to come upon your soul, to come upon your emotions, your will, the memories of your past, and break the control of those old memories and thoughts of you. In other words, you resist the devil. When you're talking about the blood, when you're confessing the blood, you're testifying of the blood, you are singing about the blood, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power in the precious blood of the Lamb. As we're singing about the blood, we're testifying of the blood, you're letting the devil know that I know about the blood. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, the word of your testimony. So let's testify this together. While I walk in the light. Come on, you got to open your mouths and say so for yourselves. I can't say so on your behalf. While we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually from all sin. Now, what we're doing is dipping the bunch of hyssop into the basin and applying it onto our lives. Amen. So, redeems, cleanses. Number three, the third effect is that the blood justifies. It's justification. And this is one word that really upsets a lot of people. The word justification in the Greek, it means to make righteous. Romans 5 and verse 9, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So we have been justified by His blood. It's like you're on trial in a court of law for an offense. Your life is at stake. And then the verdict comes out, not guilty. You have just been justified. You just got acquitted. Isaiah 43 says it this way, verses 25 and 26. I am He who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. That you may be justified. In some translation, it says, plead your case. You know, the word plead simply means I rest my case. And so when we say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, we're essentially saying, I rest my life in the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over my marriage, over my children. We're saying, I rest my children and I rest my marriage in your blood. I have faith in the blood. Andrew Murray says it well, to enjoy the blessings of God in your life, the only thing that is necessary is faith in the blood. The blood alone has done everything. And when it comes to faith, it's not enough just to believe. You're going to have to say it. Listen, church, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, your faith is not strong enough to move a mountain. You gotta say so. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my thoughts, over my habits, over my attitudes, over my past, my future, my finance, my family. You've been reckoned righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not with your own. The Bible says that our righteousness are like filthy rags. So throw those filthy rags away and put on the blood of Jesus. Let it justify you, because in that way, the devil cannot accuse you. Let me help you reckon this in your spirit. Simply put, I'm justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Come on, that's good, right? I'm justified means just as if I'd never sinned. And so let's all testify this together. Are you ready to say so? Let's make much about His blood in our lives. Say, through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, acquitted, not guilty, reckoned righteous, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. The fourth effect is sanctification. Now we're justified by the blood. We're made the righteousness of Christ by His blood. It doesn't stop there. We're now called to walk out our salvation with fear and with trembling. That the process and the journey of sanctification happens. Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. Now, to sanctify in the original is directly related to the word for holiness. In fact, the word sanct is the English word saint. So to sanctify means to make saintly or to make holy. That's sanctify. So let's testify this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God, separated from sin, made holy with God's holiness. Amen. The fifth effect is that blood releases life. Blood carries life. Blood sustains life. Now, unless you have a health issue or you get injured, you know, your blood is something that you don't often think about. But yet, our blood is miraculous in all that it accomplishes for our bodies. It is the river of life. Leviticus 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And so the blood of Jesus was shed for us for the atonement of our sins. And so the life of God is in the blood of Jesus. God lives in constant view of the blood of his son. You know, human minds have no capacity to actually calculate the potential of that statement. But I'll say this, that one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the whole kingdom of Satan put together. All it takes is just one drop of his blood, church. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 57. Jesus himself said to his disciples, "Most assuredly, I say to you," now in the King James Version, when he says, "Verily, I say to you," it's important. If he says, "Verily, verily, I say to you," means it's super important. He says, "Assuredly," it's important. When he says, "Most assuredly," super important. So ears up. Let's listen to what he says. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." And someone encourage you, church, take Holy Communion every day. Every day. Make much about his blood. Honor his blood. Thank him for his blood. Amen. The Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you remember what the Lord has done for you." For as often, which means not just once a month in church service, but as often as you do it. So I take it every day and I thank God for his blood. And I tell you what, it releases divine life into you. It releases divine health and valor and strength and courage into you like nothing else can. Make much about his blood. So let's testify this together. Lord Jesus, when I receive your blood, we receive your life. The life of God. Divine, eternal, endless life. Amen. Just receive it now. Let the divine life of God begin to fill your lives. Begin to fill you. Paul said that though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. There's enough life in the inward man to sustain the outward man until our task is finished. The sixth effect is this: intercession. So there's redemption in his blood. There's cleansing in his blood. There's justification in his blood. There's sanctification in his blood. His blood releases life. And number six, intercession. His blood helps us intercede. In fact, his blood makes intercession for us in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks." Blood has a voice. It speaks better things than that of Abel. His blood intercedes on our behalf. It speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. It's interesting. It's a fascinating passage of scripture in the Bible. It's contrasted. His blood is contrasted with the blood of Abel. Let me give you very quickly three main contrasts of this. Look, Abel's blood was shed against his will. Jesus willingly shed his blood. Abel's blood was sprinkled on earth. Jesus' blood was sprinkled and shed in the holiest of all. Abel's blood cried out for revenge, for vengeance. But Jesus' blood pleads for mercy. And I sure am thankful for mercy this morning. Now, none of us will be able or worthy enough to be here in the presence of God. It's his blood that pleads for mercy. Even in times we find ourselves to be speechless and wordless, we can't even pray anymore. His blood intercedes and pleads for us in heaven. So let's thank him for his blood, amen. Let's testify this together. Thank you, Lord, that even when I cannot pray, the blood of Jesus is pleading for me in heaven. Amen. You've got to say so. Church, you got to open your mouths and declare and testify. Say so. The last effect is this. In the New Testament, the blood of Jesus grants us access. Access. Hebrews 10, 19 to 23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession, the word of our testimony, of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The blood immediately gives you access into the holiest of all. You come right into the presence of God, to the throne of grace. You walk right in and nobody questions why you're there. Of course, sometimes the devil comes and he, in his schemes, he puts thoughts in our minds. Are you sure you're worthy to be in the presence of God today? Don't forget what you did last summer. And I tell you what, when you hear something like that, first come before the Lord in repentance. And then say, the blood of Jesus brought me in here. Jesus died and rose again to bring me in here. I am welcomed here in the presence of God. And I belong here in the presence of God. In the holiest of all. His blood grants us access. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession. The word of our testimony of hope without wavering. And that's a fascinating scripture to me, because Hebrews 3:1 says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Remember, I said no confession, no high priest. So Jesus is the high priest of a confession. Hebrews 4:14 says, hold fast your confession. And then Hebrews 10:23 says, and hold it fast without wavering. What does that tell you? When you are in an aeroplane and an announcement comes on board, it says, buckle your seat belts. What are you expecting? Turbulence. You're expecting turbulence. And so when the word of God says, make the confession, hold fast your confession, and hold it fast without wavering, God is saying to all of us, buckle your seatbelts, because there will be turbulence. But don't let the turbulence make you unbuckle your seatbelts. Instead, make the right confession and watch how Jesus, your high priest, advocates and works on your behalf. We can approach the throne of God and the holiest place of all in the whole universe with boldness because of the blood. We have access. So let's testify this together. This is the last statement we're going to testify together as a church this morning. But after this, every day, make much about the blood. Testify of the blood. Amen. Chinese New Year is coming up. House to house visitations. Talk about the blood. How the blood has saved you. How the blood's redeemed you. How the blood's justified you, sanctified you, healed you, set you free. There's so much we can talk about the blood of Jesus and what it's done for us. And so let's testify. Thank you, Lord. That through the sprinkled blood of Jesus, I have access into the presence of the Almighty God. Into the holiest place in the universe. Amen. It doesn't stop here. Apply the blood of Jesus every day in your lives, church. That bunch of hyssop, it's for your protection. Testify. Take the blood from the basin, apply it on your lives, apply it on your children, apply it on your marriage, your families. Apply it. The sprinkling of the blood is the highest form of worship. That means if you want to access the highest and the holiest place of the Lord, you've got to honor and make much about His blood. Hebrews 9, my last scripture, verses 12 to 14. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more? How much more the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleansed your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more will the blood of Christ? You know, when the devil comes and talks to you, tell him, don't talk to me. Talk to the blood. and listen to what the blood has got to say to you. Because His blood speaks a better word. Blood speaks to God. Blood makes an audible sound in the ear of God. The blood of Christ and the Spirit of God are eternally connected. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, His blood and His Spirit are eternally connected. What does that mean? That means wherever and whenever the blood of Jesus is honored, the Holy Spirit will work. Whenever you honor the blood, whenever you exercise faith through it, then the Spirit of God immediately begins to work in your situation. And how many of you know that the Holy Spirit has never lost a case? If only He could get His clients to listen to Him. How many of you want God working on your case? Yeah, me too. How do we do that? We plead the blood. We rest our case in His blood. We rest our situations in His blood. We have faith in His blood. Amen. The only way we're going to win our battles this year, the only way we're going to overcome offenses, I tell you, church hurt is very real. You know, in the young people's world, a lot of podcasts are on church hurt. Everybody's talking about church hurt. Hurt by church, offended, hurt, wounded. The blood of Jesus cleanses offenses. Don't hold on to church hurt any longer. Don't hold on to offenses any longer. The wounds. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Every feeling that attaches itself to what people have done to you, or perhaps the church has done to you, the blood of Jesus cleanses. You know, it's very heartbreaking. I mean, I listen to this podcast because people send to me, you know, and I'm like, wow, everybody's talking about church hurt. What's going on? We must make much about the blood, amen? Let's stand together as we close. So how do we overcome Satan? How are we going to win battles this year? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, that bunch of hyssop. It's for your protection, church. Open your mouths. Testify. Sing about the blood. Talk about the blood. Confess. Make the right confessions according to the word of God. You got to dip that bunch of hyssop into the blood, into the basin, and then applying it on your lives. Applying it on your relationships, your marriages, your children, your families, your finances, your health. We got to apply the blood, appropriate His blood. And you can only do it for yourselves. I can't do it on your behalf. And so I think there's no better way to close the service but to sing about His blood. To thank Jesus for His blood. But before the worship team sings, I want us all, just lift up your hands and close your eyes. And for a few moments, if you could just thank Him for His blood. Come on, let's honor the blood today. Let's honor the blood today. The blood that has the power to set you free. The blood that redeems you, justifies you, sanctifies you, cleanses you, gives you life. The blood that makes intercession on your behalf in heaven. The blood that grants you access into the very holiest place of His presence. Thank Him for His blood right now. Come on, church. All across this place, lift up your hands. Say so. Say so. Say so. Shaba. Rikaba sandaraba. Rikataya naramase. Remember, when you honor the blood of Jesus, when you make much about His blood, the Holy Spirit works for you. The eternal Spirit of God works on your behalf. Come on.
Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I'm just wondering if there's anybody, anyone in this hall this morning will want to respond to the word and say, Lord, from this day forward, upon the confession of my mouth and applying the blood upon my life and upon my family's life, if that is you this morning, would you lift up your hands to the Lord in response to your word and ask the Lord to seal that word, that truth, into our hearts, that the Bible says that to know your truth and the truth shall set you free. God, may we be a company of people who walk under the covering of the blood of Jesus, and that those who know the Lord shall do great exploits, God. Father, we ask, Lord, that Cornerstone will be a company of people that will walk with you, that will be guided and be led by the Spirit of God, that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Lord, we thank you for your word, even with the hands that are raised, Lord. We are saying, Lord, that we are applying and appropriating the blood of Jesus, the finished work of the cross. We thank you that this is the blood of the new covenant that you shed for us for the forgiveness of sins for many, and that as often as we drink, Lord, of that blood, Lord, Father, that we know that Jesus, you have paid the price for us, that we walk in victory. We thank you there's power, there's forgiveness and authority in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your word. So God, we ask that you seal your word in our hearts this morning, Lord. We just, even as your people has blessed you, God, may you bless your people this morning and this day. And the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. And so may the Lord put his name on you. We pray the blessings of God the Father, blessings of God the Son, blessings of God the Holy Spirit be in you and abide with you now and forevermore. And everybody say, amen. One more time, let's give the Lord a big praise offering. Hallelujah.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.